podcast on Yaman, episode 5. You're with Mohan, Karthik, and Gaurav. So if you remember in the first episode, Gaurav was talking about how we cannot think of Kubernetes as a full pass because it doesn't have that convenience of Heroku where you just do a git push Heroku master and then your app is deployed. But in fact, it turns out there is actually a tool for that. And if you remember in the third episode, while we were discussing briefly about GitOps, we mentioned GitKube from Hasura. So today we have Shahid from Hasura. He leads engineering efforts for enterprise products at Hasura. He has worked extensively in DevOps and declarative infra, but more importantly, he has worked on developer tooling, and GitKube is one such tool.
Hey Shahid, thanks for being with us today. And so I see that you're one of the core committers and maintainers of GitKube from Hasura. So you're really into GitOps and GitKube. So can you talk a little bit about GitOps? What is the philosophy of GitOps and what it means to you?
Sure. Thanks, Mohan, for the intro. Hey, Karthik. Hi, Gaurav. Thanks for having me on this podcast. So yeah, so we worked on a tool called GitKube, which gives a way for you to try GitOps on your Kubernetes clusters. What it effectively enabled its users to do is write a declarative configuration of what the application they want deployed on their Kubernetes cluster is. And if you push this configuration along with the application code, with the Docker files, this particular controller that is running on Kubernetes cluster will build your Docker images and then deploy it on the Kubernetes cluster according to the configuration that you just mentioned in the GitOps or in the configuration files. It looks at the of what your end result is or what it finally should look like. And the tool takes certain steps to achieve that final state. And that is what the philosophy of GitOps itself is. That you describe a set of facts, not a set of instructions. And the tools that are supporting GitOps or the tools which follow the GitOps philosophy will understand this set of facts and will do certain actions to realize this set of facts. And so when, for example, you say that there are 10 Redis servers rather than start 10 Redis servers and tell me if it worked or not, right? You say that the end result you're expecting is that there should be 10 Redis servers. How these 10 Redis servers are started or how they are configured and all is up to the tool to do. But you only mention what the end result should be. So that this is the core philosophy of GitOps, that your configuration is declarative. And this is what Kubernetes also does, right? Everything is in a declarative format. Your application manifest, your service definitions, and everything on Kubernetes is declarative in through YAML files. And this is what infrastructure as code is doing with Terraform or Ansible or things like that. Like Git, it results in a very amazing piece of technology where you can have things like collaboration or version control or rollbacks like you never had before. And this is something that happens when two amazing technologies or two amazing philosophies that comes together, like declarative tools and Git as a source of truth. Both of them came together and it just so turns out that both of them just works out very well to achieve this philosophy of GitOps. Just to give a brief explanation around this, when you have the entire set of configuration version controlled in Git, this also means that you get code reviews on your configuration, comments and comments on the pull request which adds new configuration, good documentation of the evolution of your configuration as Git commit history. And this makes the system more discoverable and much easier to operate and to recover and to observe, right? And we can even include version controlled product user stories to help understand the evolution or the intent of the implementation. And in the case of Kubernetes, we don't version control only the code, but also the YAML files that are used for the deployments, right? And if we also include the version control Terraform files or other configuration files to actually bring up these Kubernetes clusters on cloud providers. And this becomes the single source of truth for everything, for the infrastructure, for the product, for the evolution of the product, and for everything around the product, right? So that's the idea of, or the philosophy of GitOps, to have, to use declarative tools and to define the, and to have them version controlled using Git. And that is what makes GitOps what it is right now.
So how do you, let's say I have GitCube in my workflow. So how do I integrate continuous integration in this workflow? So where does continuous integration fit in? So does the CI run after we do the GitCube push, or should it run before GitCube like it happens in Argo CD? And this whole thing, will GitCube consume a commit made by the CI pipeline?
So the way GitCube itself works is that it consumes a commit made by your development or your CI workflow. So what GitCube itself tries to do, it's more like Flux, where it tries to look at the current state of the repository and it will realize that particular state. So it is gonna build the image itself and it is gonna use the manifest that is found associated with that particular commit, and it's gonna use that image, inject that image into that manifest and deploy that manifest onto the Kubernetes cluster. So in your CI pipeline, GitCube itself can be considered as your CI pipeline where the actual deployment happens, or if you have other things that are happening in your CI pipeline, for example, you want to run some tests, you want to do some more acceptance tests or end-to-end tests and things like that. And at the end of the pipeline, what you do is you call GitCube or you make a push to the GitCube repo, and GitCube will now deploy this particular state onto your cluster. So it will come at the end of your CI pipeline where you do all your tests, and GitCube will do the deploy part for you.
It just occurred to me as you were speaking, since GitCube is actually doing a Docker build, right? I can have all my tests in one Docker image, like one stage of a Docker image build. And then I can use this multi-stage build to run all the tests and produce an actual image. Would that work too?
Of course, that also works. And we have seen some of our users doing that, where the actual Docker build is a multi-stage Docker build, like you mentioned. And tests are also run as part of the Docker build. So what ends up happening is GitCube itself becomes your CI and your CD. Like your integration tests also happen here. Your deployment also happens here. So yeah, that is also a legit workflow using GitCube. Yeah. It totally depends on what the developer prefers, right? If they want to do everything in GitOps, that's also totally fine.
That sounds like a much better approach than what we discussed in the Argo episode, don't you think, Karthik? Where my number one problem is all these bot commits that we had in the source repository.
Yep, that's right. So I had a question. I've been looking through the GitOps page and the philosophy. So there is this push option as well as a pull option. So does GitCube offer a push and pull, or is it only one? So how does it work in that way?
So GitCube works in the philosophy of push, I guess. So you get your current state sorted. Basically, you do the commits and you do the changes. You do everything and you commit that state into a Git repo. And then you push this repo to GitCube. Now, what GitCube will do is it will do everything as described to realize this particular state. So it's more of a push approach than an agent listening to a Git repo and probably pulling from that. I'm not sure if I understand the push versus pull category or distinction very clearly. So if you can just explain that.
Yeah, GitCube is kind of in a gray area, to be honest, because what the pull system would do is it would actually try to, just like what you described right now, it will try to look for changes in an external Git repository, and then if there is a change, it'll try to match the desired state with the actual state, right? So the push would be, you would have some other external CD system that would do a kubectl apply or something, some wrapped version of that from outside the Kubernetes cluster, which would mean you are exposing your Kubernetes control plane with an auth key to the outside world, right? That would be the... So in this case, you're not really exposing the Kubernetes control plane to the outside world, but you have like a Git remote that's running inside the Kubernetes cluster to which I'm actually pushing the code, if I understand this.
That's right.
Kind of like a mix of both, where your actual deployment itself is actually a pull, but what we do is still a push to the cluster.
Right. So the user is still a push, and the actual deployment is finally a kubectl apply, but happening from within the cluster, not from outside the cluster.
Right. So how does this fit into the PR workflow that we are used to? Because generally you would push your code to GitHub, and then we'll do the PR review and everything, do the merge, right? So who does this push to GitCube now?
That's an interesting thing. So what we typically do is we will configure, or we configure a branch for a particular environment, right? What that means is, if you have a repo which contains all the infrastructure, the database migration, the application code, and everything, and along with the GitKube configuration of what the final deployment looks like, the pull requests will get made and things will get merged to master, or when everything is ready to get deployed, a merge happens into the staging branch, or when it's ready, to the production branch. And automation is set up in this particular branch that whenever a new commit happens, the repo is pushed into a different remote as well. So we configure the GitKube remote on the automation for that particular branch. And when a commit happens on that branch, that particular repo is pushed into this remote. So this is the automation part of actual deployment. You can also do this manually, like whenever a developer wants to, they can do this push. But that is something that can be automated as well.
So can we talk about like GitOps in general and the non-dev related ops that are also being automated using GitOps? Like, you know, I mean, let's say you're trying to onboard a new employee and they have to go through a bunch of workflows. Like, you know, you need to give them access to a bunch of accounts, and you need to give them access to a bunch of apps.
Most of these ideas came from the area of DevOps. But as you mentioned, a lot of people are trying to do a lot of other things which are not dev related using GitOps. I know for a fact that a lot of people at GitHub, I know, happens where pull requests, their name gets added to a policy file or something like that. And to gain access to a system, the system checks this policy file, basically. So the source of truth is again living in a Git repo, and modifications to that app happens through typical Git workflows. And the ops part of it is not really the traditional DevOps that we see, but rather something else. So enforcing policies in an organization, or in case of onboarding, or giving them access to a new tool, or giving them access to a new environment, all of them can be thought of operations to get histories. The philosophy is that if whatever you can put down in a file, then you can, and whatever can be observed can be automated and controlled using GitOps.
Right. So I think this is an important point about the GitOps philosophy, where you need to have a declarative configuration and that is important. That enables you to do GitOps. So I just want to mention that because it's an important point, because GitOps doesn't necessarily need to be used with Kubernetes or containers. It's just that a lot of the configuration in Kubernetes is already declarative and it enables GitOps much easier. But GitOps can be done without Kubernetes or a container infrastructure. So good, Shahid. Can you talk about how you're using GitKube in Hasura? You have a lot of GraphQL stuff going on in Hasura. So how do you use GitKube to help you achieve fast rollouts?
So we don't exactly use GitKube as it is at Hasura. So I'll explain the core philosophy that we have from a Git perspective as well as an operations perspective. And we still use Git as a stable developer ops boundary. There is this distinction of teams, rather there is this pooling of knowledge that occurs, that folks who are very good at writing the code or actually building the application might not be very well versed on how the actual application is deployed or running at the end of it, right? So that's why we have this operations team or SREs or DevOps kind of teams. There is a boundary or a stable surface of toolings that kind of separates these two concerns. So developers will work on packaging or building their applications, and they have a way to deploy that into staging or to make a release from that configuration through Git as a medium. So all they're concerned about will be, if I have to get my code run in a staging environment, I need to get my code merged into staging branch. So that's the concern of a developer. So the developer will do whatever it takes to get their pull request reviewed and merged into the staging branch. Now, once it gets into the staging branch, the kind of automation that is set up is not the developer's concern. The ops teams take care of that to make sure that the actual code that is ending up in the staging branch gets deployed into the actual staging environment. Now, this involves managing the infrastructure configuration, managing the secrets to the infrastructure, might involve like database migrations and things like that. But this is what the ops team is concerned about, and this is what is constantly changing. Like, you might be deploying using raw virtual machines today, tomorrow you might decide to use Kubernetes, and this should not be affecting the workflow of your end developers, the way they develop applications. So we make use of Git as its boundary, and we set policies in a way that whatever is in this repo can be used to bring the system from scratch. If something goes wrong or something needs to be set up again, whatever is in the repo is required to bring the system up from scratch. And we try to separate the concerns by setting up policies like this, where staging branch is used to deploy the staging environment and prod branch is used to deploy to production environment. And we set up policies to control who can approve and merge pull requests to these branches so that the required reviews are also happening. So now how the actual deployment and everything happens. So it happens via very wide variety of tools. For some scenarios, we still use GitKube. For some more complex scenarios, we have now started looking at Scaffold and tooling around Scaffold and customize. And we always try to roll out our own toolings around these things. For raw virtual machines and for raw infrastructure like that, we write our own Git hooks or web hooks, which will understand the configuration in Git and try to realize that configuration.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer, Shahid. So yeah, it's very natural, right? So once the company grows and you have you start to see separate development organization, ops organization, infrastructure organization, it's kind of hard for everybody to have everything in a single common repo. So normally we'll have devs have the dev code in a Git repo, and you will have the ops infrastructure guys have their, say for example, Ansible playbooks in a separate repo. So I think, so it's just that Hasura has outgrown GitCube. I think you would agree with that, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. GitCube is something that is very well suited for a Kubernetes-only deployment. And our current deployments have grown outside of Kubernetes to include many more things that are outside the Kubernetes environment, whether it's databases or other infrastructure components. I mean, we share the workloads across Kubernetes clusters and raw virtual machines. So managing all of that in a single point is not possible with any one tool. So we kind of mix and match tools to just do what is the best way to achieve that current task or that particular task. And then we stitch them together using scripts like Bash scripts or any other scripts with Python, and just automate them using CI environments like GitHub Actions or Circle CI or things like that. I mean, it's all about using the right tool for that particular job. And for deploying to Kubernetes, GitCube works out very well, but not for other kind of deployments.
As Shahid was saying, if you think about it, all these things are facts about your infrastructure, right? Or not just your infrastructure, even about your application and deployment. They're just facts. So as long as you have another tool that reads the same YAML file or the same markup, that tool should be able to do whatever it wants with those facts. So GitCube actually uses the Docker file itself, right? GitCube is actually using Docker file and to do the build and everything. There is no markup that GitCube specifically requires.
Yes. So GitCube looks at the Docker file that is present in the repo, and then it takes the Kubernetes manifest from the repo as well. So first it does the Docker build, and then it can optionally do a Docker push for you. And then it does kubectl apply.
So we have a Git remote that's inside the Kubernetes cluster, right? If I wanted, I can also push my code directly to that Git remote. Is that right?
Yes.
So do you see in the future, you have all these Git self-hosted Git tools like GitD and the companies that use GitLab, right? They get this self-hosted version of GitLab or Bitbucket, and then they run it on their own infrastructure. Do you see a main server to which you push your code to? Do you see that moving inside the Kubernetes cluster? Because that way, you get all the niceness that you have with GitOps, or at least you get the GitCube kind of setup, and you also you don't have anything running outside of your Kubernetes cluster. Do you see that happening, or is that like a total no-no because you don't want to lose everything at once?
I think it's not a good thing to do, because what you want to do is in case of, say, a disaster happens, you want to recover everything, right? You wouldn't want to store the source itself in the actual end result of what you do with that source. For example, you created this cluster or you bought up this infrastructure by looking at the source code in this repo, and then you wouldn't want to store the repo in that infrastructure itself, right? You would want to separate the source from or store the source separately, especially because Kubernetes clusters are something that can go down, can happen something to it. It is not a good idea to actually depend on it as a source of truth. Your source of truth should always live elsewhere, unaffected by the actions of this particular deployment infrastructure, which is going to be different. For example, another way to look at it is, let's say you have staging and production and QAT or QA or different environments like this. Like, where would you put the actual source code at? You have multiple copies of the same stack or same program, but they are different environments, right? So it makes sense to have it separate as a single thing, rather than storing the source and the end effect of that source in the same place. What I would want to add, which is interesting in this space, right? Especially because you brought about the... You were mentioning how source code management is moving to how you deploy your infrastructure of code, right? I want to mention that it's happening the other way. How you manage and deploy your code is moving to how you manage your source code. And this is what is happening with GitHub Actions or GitLab pipelines and things like that. You're trying to consolidate the source code management as well as the ops around it. That is what effectively GitOps is enabling us to do.
So one question that we get often is about pipelines and GitOps. So GitOps is actually more than just the pipelines, right? So how do these two fit in?
Right. So what GitHub Actions or GitLab Runner or the GitLab pipelines effectively do is to define a sequence of tasks, right? You define a sequence of tasks to achieve something. And this is not essentially what GitOps is about. GitOps is about defining that final end result, or as we mentioned in the beginning, it's about defining facts, not a sequence of tasks. But there are still certain things that we cannot do declaratively like this. For example, things like governance pipelines, like human in loop actions, which are about approval and governance. This is not still clear with GitOps. Like, how do we do like an approval from a quality control team so that it's ready to deploy? One way we can think about it is you merge from a different branch to another branch, but then again, that merging things involves humans in between.
Yeah, it would be nice if, you know, all these pipelines actually had a form or a place where we can enter information, and then it also simultaneously does a commit, activates, triggers the GitOps system to do its thing. That would be a nice thing to have in this on all these pipelines systems.
Yeah. I think finally what happens is everybody ends up setting pipelines to achieve your GitOps workflows. I think that's what all of us are doing, right? We use GitHub Actions or CircleCI or Travis or GitLab or whatever, then Jenkins, to effectively write the pipelines which achieve our GitOps workflows.
Great. Shahid, do you want to make any call-outs for Hasura? I see there's a Hasura con planned for this year. Anything you want to call out for Hasura you can do now?
We do a lot of developer tooling. We started with a Kubernetes-based PaaS, and now we are focusing on one of the components in that PaaS, which is a GraphQL API, which you can run on your own databases and then connect together different data sources to get a unified GraphQL API. And we have had a lot of users use Hasura in a very diverse kind of setups or diverse kind of backends. And to share that knowledge of how our users are using Hasura and to share what we do at Hasura to make the GraphQL ecosystem better, we are organizing a conference called HasuraCon. It's our first conference. It's a free online conference on GraphQL and Hasura and our users. So yeah, check it out at our website. Do attend. We do have a couple of workshops as well. So if you're interested in GraphQL and the ecosystem, please do check it out.
Sure, great. I think all our listeners will definitely be interested in checking out AzraCon when it gets rolling. So Shahid, what do you think about the future of GitOps? I know you touched a little bit about, you know, what's going on right now with pipelines. What do you think about GitOps? How can we realize the philosophy of GitOps in an ever-evolving cloud infrastructure and cloud setups, Kubernetes? How do you think this is going to change over the future?
More or less, everybody has now understood the value of declarative infrastructure or declarative configuration. And as systems evolve better to have much larger overview of how the system can be observed, GitOps is going to get into other areas as well. So it started with Kubernetes, with the application manifests around the same time. Terraform or other form of declarative infrastructure happen. Every tool that is out there right now should try to have a declarative configuration for themselves. So if you look at most of the tools out there, say Nginx, Nginx has a declarative configuration. That's what essentially it takes. All you need to have is a declarative configuration file. Then to define the state of your application. And then suddenly your application becomes GitOps ready. So not just that, you need to have this declarative configuration, and then you need to have a way of introspecting what your current state is. These two things combined will make your tool GitOps ready. Most of the new tools that are coming out, or most of the tools that are already there, are either adding support for a declarative configuration or adding more APIs to observe the system better. It also helps in form of governance. It improves the transparency of the system. It improves the developer velocity by separating concerns. So everybody is understanding these values, and the entire ecosystem itself is moving towards making this more accessible.
Great. Thanks, Shahid. And I think that's a wrap. Shahid, thank you very much for being with us and talking about your views and experience on GitOps.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great opportunity to be on this podcast and share my thoughts.
Okay. Take care. Stay safe, everybody.
Thank you, Karthik. Thank you, Shahid. See you all next week.